Hi and welcome to the Law of Attraction. My name's Laura and I'm a certified life coach, spiritual teacher and a natural intuit with over 20 years of research in psychology and self-improvement. After struggling with my own mental health and overcoming CPTSD and BPD, I've dedicated my life to helping others to transmute their trauma into empowerment. I coach one-on-one, offer monthly healing retreats in Bristol and have online coaching programs. Each week, I'll lead you through a new topic and give you techniques for an array of issues. Welcome back to Law of Attraction Life Coaching Podcast. I am sorry that last week I kind of uploaded one from a few years ago, but hopefully it's one that you haven't heard. I do apologise. The reason why I did it was because I have had a horrible cold and a sore throat, and you might be able to still hear it now, and I've been struggling with it. But I've still had clients that I've had to see. So you can't stop when you work for yourself. So I was like, do I do the podcast this week? And I thought, no, I'm going to give myself a rest and a break because I need to practice what I preach. And so I didn't do them. So last week you would have heard a podcast that I recorded a few years ago about how to avoid fear and how to deal with fear. I think it might have been one of the first podcasts I ever uploaded onto Instagram. So it's a bit of a throwback into the archives, but it's a good one anyway. So if you haven't heard it, go back and listen. But today I'm back. I have put some time aside. I'm here for you and I'm going to talk to you today all about shadow work. Now, what is shadow work? You've probably heard this phrase. It's being bandied around quite a lot, but it's actually something that has been developed quite a while ago. It is a theory from Carl Jung, and this Jungian theory that we cast a shadow from something that we are aware of. And so the idea is that the shadow is the stuff that's going on in the subconscious, and it's often the stuff that we don't want to acknowledge. So we tend to have a conscious awareness of who we think we are. And most of us will put ourselves into a framework of that we're good people, that we're kind, that we work hard, all of these kind of things. However, that is only a rather 2D image of who we genuinely are. And of course, we're perceived very differently dependent upon who we are being perceived by. But for ourselves, we can come to find a more authentic and a greater awareness of our full selves by doing some shadow work. And it's my work with my shadow that has actually helped me to gain quite a lot of healing and quite a lot of a sense of self as to maybe some of the reasons why I self-sabotage, some of the reasons why I pick partners or used to pick partners that weren't good for me and why I used to self-sabotage. And it's this shadow work that leads us to be able to unpack some of the things that are going on in the subconscious that often trip us up. So if you imagine that the shadow, your shadow is being cast by the light, and the shadow is always behind you. If you imagine that the sun's in front of you, you're stood between the sun and whatever your shadow is being cast on. So the shadow is often something that is imperceptible or imperceivable by ourselves, but can be something that can be delved into. And it's an introspective process that I would say is really vital to reach mature adulthood and a level of emotional intelligence. And actually, this level of sort of self-actualization and introspection and self-perception isn't something that is commonplace these days. I would say that the majority of the people in Western society probably have done no shadow work. They are bumbling around with the ideology that they're good people, but actually they're probably not that good. You know, our ego wants to keep us in the ideology that we're good people, that we don't do things wrong, and that if things go wrong, it's actually something to do with somebody else and not to do with ourselves. But that's not true. Sorry, guys. It's not true. The truth of the matter is that we often have a hand in our downfalls in some way, shape or form. And it's often the shadow that is at work when we are self-sabotaging, when we are creating scenarios that cause us to be victims. And this is why one of my tough love speeches, lessons, lectures, whatever you'd like to call it, is that you are not a victim. The only thing that you're often a victim of is your own shadow. And your own shadow acting unconsciously doing things behind the scenes, as it were, that you're not perceptive of is often the reason why people's lives don't look how they want them to look. So I'll give you an example. If you have had a relationship with somebody who is not very nice, it's easy to sit and say, I'm a victim of this person. Okay, this person came in and they took over my life and they did all these things to me and I am a victim. Now, whilst that is truthful to a point, it's also untruthful because you have had a hand in choosing your partner. You have had a hand in accepting the abuse to some degree. You have had a hand in allowing it to continue. You have had a hand in staying within the relationship. And I know this is going to get some of your backs up because if you're still in the victim mentality, which I doubt it because you're listening, if you're listening to my podcast, you're probably not. But if you are somebody that's still in the victim process and you're still sitting within your light self and you're still thinking that you are, you know, holier than thou and that you've never done anything wrong and that all of the things in your life have just been bad, terrible things that have happened to you with nothing to do with you, that's actually very rare. It's very rare that some of the things that people are victims to that they had no hand in. Okay, so for instance, one of the things I would say that you have had no hand in, if you are a victim of it, is you're walking along the street and suddenly you get bundled into the back of a van and you get sex trafficked somewhere. Okay, that is not your fault. There is in no way that you could have avoided that. However, if you are in a relationship with somebody that you have ignored the red flags of because you have your unhealed trauma, that you have stayed in the relationship of because you have unhealed trauma, that you've allowed your shadow to take control in an unconscious manner and to continue in an abusive relationship or in a bad job or in a toxic situation, you as an adult, you have to recognize that you have a hand in perpetuating that. And I know that's going to stick in a lot of yours craw, but this is tough love, honey, okay? And shadow work isn't for people who just want to perceive themselves as being angels. Human beings are every single level of every single perception that a human being can be, okay? And so what we need to recognize is that within that spectrum of human nature, there is evil and there is also good. And if you think that you are all good, then your shadow is going to come in and bite you in the bum. And it will bite you in the bum by putting you in situations that are full of darkness. And until you recognize that you have a hand to play in bringing your shadow into the light and recognizing your subconscious behaviors that lead you into situations and scenarios that are not good, not kind, not loving, and not really worthy of you being in, then you will continue to perpetuate this trend. And this is why I tell you that most people are not aware of their shadow. Most people are walking around as unconscious beings that are acting from their subconscious with no understanding that they have any ability to change what's going on in their life. Which, of course, you know, is not true. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you'll be fully aware that everything I work on is about you being able to be personally empowered and finding a way to actually move through the stress and trauma and difficulty that you've probably been through in your life. How do we do this? Well, shadow work is one of those areas that I would recommend you invest some time in. And this is where we go inside and we look at some of the stuff that is hidden. So the shadow is looked at as being the dark side of our personality because it's looked at as the primitive side, the side that holds the negative human emotions and impulses like rage, envy, greed, selfishness, desire, and things like striving for power. When we cut ourselves off from that side of ourselves, it actually leaves us disempowered because the things that we have within our shadow become something of the disowned self. So the shadow represents the parts of ourselves that we no longer claim. And you could probably understand how feelings like rage, like envy, like greed, selfishness, actually could be used in a positive manner. But if you are shunning that part of yourself, there's no opportunity for you to integrate that shadow self and use that as being a personal source of power. So for me, I went through a period in my life where I was not a very good person. And I intentionally chose to kind of use those parts of myself that weren't my disowned self. They just were myself. I had delved right into the shadow self because I'd been through so much trauma and suffering that actually it's kind of, if you can't beat them, you join them. And for me, I decided to become a worse person than the people that were around me to ensure that I was protected. Which is a very primitive and dangerous kind of approach to take really. And I think that's possibly how serial killers are created and you know, people who are really dangerous are created. Instead of staying within the light self, they decide to dive into the shadow self and become the shadow self with no introspection of whether or not what we're doing is good. So these disowned parts of our personality, they don't go anywhere. If you disown it, they just become something that you are not aware of. And this is why a lot of people who think that they're victims of circumstances and victims of life, actually you're victims of your own shadow self, because there's a part of you that you are not acknowledging and you're not working with, which has, you know, lust and greed and gluttony and all of the sort of seven sins kind of thing that is working and is still there and is still desiring what it wants. And this is where you see, you know, people having an affair or, you know, people doing things that they do, the crimes of passion. They just, oh, I don't know where it came from. All of a sudden, this other me just leapt out. And I would say an unconscious person is probably one of the most dangerous people in the world. I would say that if you haven't integrated your shadow self, it's dangerous. I would say that it is dangerous, and you are more dangerous than maybe people who have integrated their shadow selves. Because as somebody that has, you know, removed themselves, disowned the self, the shadow self, it's almost as if you're not consciously aware of the evil you can do. And if you're not consciously aware of the evil that you can do, how on earth can you learn to control those urges? It is when I recognize that I am capable of really heinous things that I could create behaviors and patterns to ensure that I didn't continue to do that or do worse than what I was doing at the time. But it takes that level of introspection and honesty with oneself to bring that unconscious part into the light, because your ego wants you to think that you are a good person. You know, it wants you to think that you are kindness and love and generosity, and that you don't express these emotions that are often rejected from society. So the shadow self, most people's shadow selves, I would say, contain pretty similar things. However, the shadow self often looks at containing things that have been repressed as you're a child. So, for instance, the Catholic schoolgirl trope is a trope because of the repression that's experienced in childhood and teenagehood towards desires and sexuality. And these desires and sexualities are repressed and then become part of the shadow self, where you would get the archetype of like the maiden becoming the whore. Okay, so where you would normally have a, you know, a reasonable response for sexuality, when this is repressed, it then becomes like the archetype of the whore or the femme fatale, which can lead us, you know, as men or women, into behaviors that are not necessarily good. And this is how affairs happen. People go, I just didn't realize I was capable of that until this thing came along and I'm a victim of this circumstance. It's like, no, you're not a victim of the circumstance. You unconsciously chose to go ahead and act upon that impulse, and you acted upon the impulse because you are not on speaking terms with your shadow self. So the shadow self often has something within it that we've been reprimanded for as a child. So this is why it's really important for parents to be really aware of the things that we are praising and rewarding and and how we punish our children if they've done something wrong. Because the things that we discourage within the first 20 years of our lives tend to become part of our shadow self. And so if your child has a natural interest in something, or it's a very hungry child, or, you know, or it does something that is looked at as being, I don't know, whatever triggers probably your shadow self. So for instance, you know, going back to the Catholic schoolgirl ideology, the reason why that was repressed was often because of the parents' own repressed urges themselves. And so when faced with the sexuality of their children, they have become triggered, and then they tell their children to repress that part as well. And so what the child will do is put all of these unwanted parts into this invisible bag and drags it behind him for life. And it's this repression that causes the personal shadow. It's this repression that causes the unwanted parts. Okay, now Jung writes in Psychology and Alchemy, there is no light without shadow and no psychic wholeness without imperfection. And we are really have to recognize that parts of ourselves are godly and parts of ourselves are demonic. The ideology of the God and the devil within, I think, is something that I really like, and I would really recommend that you use and that you utilize to become aware of the shadow self and parts of ourselves that are trying to trip us up. Okay, so if you can remember when we were kids in cartoons like Looney Tunes, like Donald Duck would sometimes have a good Donald Duck angel on one side and an evil Donald Duck, you know, devil on the other side. And it's this internal monologue that's going on often, or a dialogue, because there's two of them. You know, this dialogue that's going on between these two parts of oneself. Now, if you're conscious and aware of your shadow self and your light self, your devil and your angel on your shoulders, then you will be able to hear the two parts of that dialogue, and you will be able to consciously choose what it is that you're going to do in the moment. This is where shadow work allows you to meet and make friends with one's inner devil. And me and my devil are good friends. And I can utilize that devil when I need to. You know, when I want to be a bull-busting bitch, I mean, my devil's fantastic for that. When I want to bring her out to be in all of my sexuality and goddess femme fatale perfection, brilliant. She's great to bring her out as that. But if I'm trying to do things where I need to be within my light self, I need to know that my shadow side is there, and I need to know how to work with it to not allow it to come out unconsciously. And this is why I would say shadow work is so important. This shadow work also stops you from allowing this devil to whisper in your ear and make you think that it is your angel self. For if you're not aware that there is a devil within you, you will assume all voices to be from your light self. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So the shadow will operate on its own without our awareness, and it will take hold of us if we go onto autopilot. And so what happens is that you'll often find behaviors cropping up in your life, and you're like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Where did that come from? And then we go into this rage and regret where we keep unconsciously doing these programs. The shadow will operate on itself if you're not aware of it. If you're not aware that you have a devil on one shoulder, you would listen to that voice and you'll think, well, it sounded like a good idea at the time. And trust me, oh, holy crap. I've done a lot of things that I thought were a good idea at the time, you know. So it's about remembering Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, you know, recognize that there is a respectable gentleman, this Dr. Jekyll, who's very conscious and wonderful and light and aware. This is that light self. It's the self that you show outside. Whereas Mr. Hyde came out after drinking a potion, and you could see his darker impulses coming out of rage, of lust, of anger. You could see it a little bit with the Hulk, you know, and Bruce Bannerman. So it's about bringing that side of yourself into the light, because if you're not aware that you have a shadow self, your Mr. Hyde, your Mrs. Hyde, your Madame Hulk, whatever you want to call it, will at some point come out, and you will you'll not be able to control it because you haven't got a relationship with it. When my rage, my desire, my anger, these things, when my shadow self starts to come out, I'm like, okay, we're friends. We've got an agreement going. So I know how to control it. I bring back that rage, and it normally takes a lot for me to dip back into my shadow self now without damn good reason. So the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is a really beautiful one, because Dr. Jekyll couldn't control Mr. Hyde. Once Mr. Hyde had come out, he was capable of doing all sorts of things, including murder. And this is why I think it's really important for you to sit down and be aware that you have a shadow self, and your shadow self is just as capable of doing absolutely the horrendous, heinous acts that you have seen across history and time. I posted a video the other day on my story, because I was watching a bit of the Jeffrey Dahmer, dramatization that is on Netflix at the moment. And I can't help but feel sorry for Jeffrey Dahmer, because Jeffrey Dahmer was somebody who had been through really severe childhood trauma to the point of having a personality disorder and having psychosis and having schizotypal behavior disorder. Okay, so these are all very severe mental health issues that causes an inability to interact in the world in what would be perceived as a normal manner. Jeffrey Dahmer was a victim of his own upbringing, and as a result, he repressed so much within himself of his homosexuality, of his desires for control, of his desire for love, of his desire for dominance over other people. And this shadow self became so repressed that it started to come out in some way that Jeffrey Dahmer was unable to control. And this is a very severe example. But that is where this can go. You know, serial killers are made in very, very special conditions, as it were. It's like a shitstorm in a teacup. It requires, you know, repressed urges. It requires a very untapped lack of introspection in regards to the shadow self. It requires generally huge amounts of trauma, brain injury. There's a huge correlation between very severe head injuries and people who have turned into serial killers after also having very traumatic lives. So there's a lot of things that pay into that. And can I just put a caveat on here? Just because I feel sorry for Jeffrey Dahmer, it does not mean that I feel that he didn't do something bad. And I also don't, and I also feel incredibly sorry for the victims of his acts. Okay, just to put a caveat on that. But I do think that when we recognize that we have a shadow self, and when we recognize and we accept ourselves across the full scheme and projection of human life, we can recognize that people that do these heinous acts are just as much victims as anybody else, from their own mental health and from their own behavior, their own childhood, from their own environment. And we have to be, I think we have to be empathic towards that. And I think that if you can be empathic towards that without becoming triggered, and projecting your own kind of lack of self-awareness of your own shadow nature onto somebody else, I think that you can have a sense of awareness of the nuances of these really tragic happenings. But anyway, that we go off there. But I was watching it, and to be honest, I was upset by a lot of comments that I've seen about Jeffrey Dahmer. And I'm not thinking that he's this this wonderful person that needs to be like let out of prison or anything. But I do think that we need to take into account that the man was very unwell. The man was very unwell, and he was a product of his environment that was not his fault. So. Now the beautiful thing is, if you repress your shadow, we tend to project onto other people. So, for instance, if you are irritated when somebody else is rude to you, it's probably a good bet that you are rude yourself at some point, and you are being triggered by that because it's an unconscious thing within your shadow. And so you're projecting your own inequality, your own sort of, worries about yourself onto someone else. There's the phrase that we tend to dislike things in others that we see in ourselves. And the more I work with people and the more I do my own shadow work and everything else, I really recognize this is very true. Now, this isn't conscious because we tend not to be aware of our own projections, because this is something that happens as a defense mechanism within our ego. And the ego perceives itself with a false identity that keeps us from connecting to our shadow. This is probably why, if you're somebody that hasn't done any shadow work and hasn't delved into the murky nature of oneself, when I just said, oh, you're capable of all heinous things, you probably said, oh, no, I'm not. I could never murder somebody. I could never rape somebody. I could never do these things. But, you know, you just haven't been pushed into the situation yet for that part of your shadow to come out. And that's luck of the draw. You know, if we look at people who are living in North Korea, for instance, if they were living over here, I'm sure they would probably say to you, oh, I could never eat a rat. That's disgraceful. But when you're pushed into a situation where your shadow comes out and you must do things, you know, you must dive into a side of yourself that you didn't think you were, that will come out. And it's only luck of the draw that maybe you've had a stable childhood, or that you've had a nice environment, or that, you know, you haven't been triggered yet into that state, that it hasn't happened. This is where we see, you know, people like that man who punched somebody in the face and he died. You know, that one punch murder that happened a while back. You know, and the guy goes, I just don't know where it came from. That's not like me. Well, it is like you. It's just not like the ego self of yourself that you're aware of. Okay, so if you're being triggered by this, I am sorry, but it is good for you because it's a symbol that there's something within you that doesn't like that, because there's something within you that is like that. Okay, so take some time to look into oneself and delve into where you get triggered, where, you know, a trigger is a sign of something that has unhealed. And, you know, Jungian shadow work allows us to have better relationships, because we stop doing unconscious shit that triggers other people off, like shouting at people when we're angry, or just losing our things when, you know, losing ourself, our self that we like to project when somebody does something that we don't like. Gives us a clearer perception of ourselves, which I think makes you a safer person to be around, frankly. And it helps with enhanced energy and physical health, because it stops you from having to put so much time into suppression of this self, okay? Because you're dragging this bag of invisible traits behind you. It's exhausting. If you bring those traits and shadow work into the light, it's no longer something that you're having to repress. It's something that's just integrated. Again, this psychological integration can lead to wholeness and unity within oneself, that fabled self-actualization that Maslow talks about. The psychological integration also leads to an emotional maturity, and you actually get to a point of emotional maturity that stops you from engaging in stuff that doesn't serve you. And I think maybe I've just kind of reached this a little bit, or I've just had this kind of up level where I've noticed certain people don't like some of the things I say. And so, and interestingly, they'll contact me, you know, they'll contact me to be like, I don't like what you've got to say. And my old self would have sat there and been like, I have to validate my point. I have to prove myself because this matters. Whereas I've done a bit of shadow work over the recent thing where it's like, actually, why do I care what people think of me? Where does that come from? You know, where is that vulnerability that requires me to act on impulse to protect my ego against perceived attacks, you know? And a lot of that has come from me as a child and the way that I've been raised. And so when I started to do the shadow work, now I'm at a perception where it's like somebody says, I don't like what you say, and I'm like, that's cool. That's cool, you're welcome to your opinion, you know. And I've learned that I don't need to validate my opinion to somebody that doesn't understand what I'm saying to be able to hold that opinion. I've also come to the recognition of awareness that I can't explain something to somebody who isn't capable of hearing what I have to say. And so when I get into these conversations with people who are not in the learned state where I'm at, where I can talk to somebody about these things, all that's happening is they're getting triggered. And if I join in on that conversation, it's an egoic response from my perspective. it is me trying to prove myself right. And you won't be able to prove yourself right with somebody that hasn't had the education or the evolution or the spiritual integration, whatever you want to call it, for them to be able to hear the message. And so it's just best to nod and say, okay, that's cool. And it is difficult at points, but I have learned that. This year, I've learned that, and I'm enjoying it, which has also led me to be able to start a new project that I'll tell you about now, called Spirit School. And it's looking more in depth into some of the psycho-spiritual work that I do, some of the spiritual roots of things, and my connection with God and how that has come around. And I'm looking into things like Gnosticism, how a culture and society has been created to repress your connection to God, and where that all comes from. So I'm started that. There's one video at the moment. The first lesson is up onto the YouTube, and I'm going to be releasing some more lessons as we go ahead. And actually, it's taken me to do that shadow work, to not give a shit what people think about what I've got to say, to be able to do that, because I wouldn't have done it beforehand, because it would have been too stressful to try and validate my opinion all the time to people who don't understand what I'm saying. And so I've shied away from doing that. And so that leads us to the fifth benefit of that Jungian shadow work, which means that you unlock more of your creative potential. Because when you are not worried about what other people think about what you're doing, you're able just to do whatever you want to do. Okay? You can just get on and do it. So one of the things I would recommend for you to do is shadow work. And this comes from an approach of centering yourself, looking at yourself in a very honest manner, and seeing if there's some things that come out within you that you kind of go, oh, I don't really like that. There's also the idea of being friendly and compassionate towards yourself. Okay. So when we're looking at things that we're doing, don't feel shameful. Don't feel guilty. Just try to transmute these emotions with kindness and self-acceptance and self-compassion. So it's just a thing of, okay, I noticed that I've had that thing happen, exploring why that thing has happened, instead of sitting down and going, oh God, I lost it again and I'm useless and I got involved in a conversation that was led by my ego and my shadow self came out, and what a hideous idiot I am. None of that's helpful. So just have some self-compassion when you're doing it. Cultivate self-awareness in the moment, and that can come from mindfulness and being aware of who you are and what you're doing in the minute. Being courageously honest with yourself. You know, self-honesty and integrity are vital for shadow work, because you are delving into basically not bullshitting yourself anymore. The ego likes to bullshit you. The shadow self is very much your very true, very honest and very repressed worst parts of yourself. So recognize if you've got a part of yourself that you don't really like, delve into that. And some of the ways that I would recommend you starting to do some shadow work exercises is to look at your emotional reactions. If you find you get very angry when driving, for instance, I do, delve into that. What is the issue? And for me, it's that I consider people to be inconsiderate or arrogant or rude, and they're not following the rules that I'm following. So that makes me angry. But why does that make me angry? And then I can start to look into that. So Jung is quoted as saying, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. We tend to, when we're triggered, we're not aware of what's going on in the moment, because we tend to go into the root brain. But every time you get triggered, take a moment to just kind of like note it. Just be like, right, got triggered driving. Somebody didn't say thank you, got triggered. Yeah. So just notice that you've been triggered by something. And at some point when you're able to do the work, engage in an inner dialogue with yourself, asking yourself why you've behaved like that. You know, why did I respond like that? What was the issue? And start with an inner dialogue with, if you want to look at it as your shadow self and perceive him as a demon, have, you know, name your demon. This is something I do with my clients. We name our demons and then we have a good old chat to them. You know, what one of my clients, one of my clients' demons is called Olga. And Olga is bad lady. She comes in, she tells you all things you don't want to hear. And it's good, you know, put this as something separate to yourself and sit down and have a conversation with Olga. Olga, why did we get so angry at that man that cut us up? Because he not follow rules, Laura. He bad man. You know, it gives you an opportunity to really delve into some mania, which is always fun, I think. dive into a little bit of psychosis. I'm obviously joking, but looking at things as a third party to give you some real help. So challenge the good part. When we think of ourselves as being a good person, often a lot of that is a bit of nonsense, and we're being lazy and we're oppressing that part of ourselves. So challenge as to whether or not you actually were good in that moment. You know, did you actually do what you thought you did? Or did you perceive something and then respond from your shadow self unnecessarily? And another thing to look at might be having a look at the shadow type archetypes, okay? So the archetypes are something that is looked at as being typical parts of the human self. And this was kind of developed between kind of Jung and Robert Moore, who was a neo-Jungian psychologist. So somebody that took the archetypes of Jung, and he created new structures. So there was 12 that was created by Jung, and Moore has structured the psyche into archetypal terms of the primary four archetypes, okay, which is the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. Okay, now to just give you some examples, the king can either go into the tyrant or the weakling, the warrior can move into the sadist or the masochist, the magician can move into the detached manipulator or the innocent one, and the lover can move into the addicted lover or the impotent lover. So this is where, if you do not look after yourself and keep yourself on that even keel, you will either turn into something that is over-dominant within that archetype, or under-dominant in effect within that archetype, or disempowered or empowered is a better way of looking at it. So the disempowered self of that archetype and the empowered self of that archetype. But you cannot deal with those formats if you're not aware of them. So I would really recommend looking into archetypes. Maybe I'll do a podcast on archetypes. Let me know if you're interested in that. And we can have a little talk about the archetypes and how we can kind of work with that. But I think just becoming aware of your shadow self, talking to it, create a demon that you have a third person dialogue with, it can be really helpful. Face your demon face on and your bad behaviors face on, without allowing your ego to step in and tell you, you did nothing, you're perfect, you're a victim of this dickhead and you did nothing wrong. You know, it's not helpful, and it's a really immature way to approach self-work. So if you're not ready for it, that's cool, but come back to shadow work when you are ready for it, because I promise you, this will open up huge amounts of help for you to be able to uncover parts of yourself that are unconscious. So some questions to ask your demon are, why are you doing this to me? What do you want from me? What are you trying to show me? And what do you have to teach me? And these will open up dialogues with your demon. And often the shadow self will come from a perspective of trying to protect you. And when you recognize that your demon isn't some horrible thing that's trying to trip you up because it's hateful and evil, it's trying to give you opportunity to be creative or to be loving or to look after yourself in some way, shape or form, you'll actually be able to integrate that demon into your full self and be friends with it and take that demonic energy into your life in some fruitful fashion. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast on shadow work. If you're interested in learning more, please let me know, because I will make more podcasts for you. And I'm a bit excited. This afternoon, I've got a podcast record with a lady looking at doing some somatic healing and looking into that a little bit more. I did do a podcast recently looking into more spiritual things and sort of my more higher level spiritual ideologies with the Spirit Center World podcast. So that will be coming out soon. And they'll be coming onto my podcast too, because I did do a feedback form with some people for some of my clients recently, and they were like, get more guests on your show. So I will be having more guests coming up. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I enjoyed interviewing them. So love you all, guys. Look after yourselves. Any questions, you know where I am, and I'll speak to you next week. Take care of yourselves. Goodbye. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you've got any questions or queries or things that you'd like answered in the next podcast, you can get in touch via my email, hello@lawofattraction.co.uk. And all of the ways that you can contact me through social media, etc., is down in the show notes. So I look forward to speaking to you soon. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.